Suppose that you were at home and you heard a knock on your door this week, and you went to the door, and outside stood representatives from the Publishers Clearinghouse saying that you had just won their sweepstakes. How would you respond? Or maybe you heard a knock at the door and you went to the door, and there stands Aaron Rodgers, wanted to come in and visit with you. Or some other musician or celebrity that you appreciate knocking on your door. How about this? Suppose that you are at home and you hear a knock on your door and you go to the door and there stands Jesus of Nazareth asking if he can come in and visit with you. That's what occurred in the passage that we're looking at today. And I'd like to invite you to open a Bible with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 10, this passage that Wayne read a few moments ago. Somewhat familiar story. While you're opening to that, tell you a story that Louise Day sent in to Today's Christian Women, a true story about her Sunday school class. She said, one day as I was teaching my small children in a Sunday school class, this story about Jesus visiting in the home of Mary and Martha. She said, I carefully explained how Martha was hurried to clean the house and was cooking a special meal for Jesus. And then I paused and I asked those kids, what would you do if Jesus was going to visit your house today? And she said, one little girl in the class piped up with an answer immediately. She said, I'd put a Bible out on the table. Well, Mary and Martha probably didn't have a copy of the Hebrew scriptures that they put on the table. But this passage is a familiar passage, but it has so much in it that is so important. And it is only Luke, of the various writers, gospel writers, only Luke that records this account. In the week before this, last week, you were looking at the account of the Good Samaritan. In that account, we saw some religious leaders who had their theology probably straight, but the practice of it, they had some things to learn regarding that. And today, what we see in this home, a couple of sisters who are very different in their approach to Jesus. And we want to learn some important lessons about serving the Lord as we look at this passage together. So I invite you to look with me there at Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, where we read these words. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. The disciples, remember, traveled with Jesus, and they had followed him throughout the Galilean ministry. However, at this point, this account recorded, apparently they were no longer up north in Galilee, they were down near Jerusalem, because Mary and Martha and Lazarus, these two sisters and brother, lived in the little city of Bethany, just 2 miles east of Jerusalem. In fact, there's still a city there today, a small village there today. It is named, seems to have a connection to Lazarus. El Lazaria seems to refer to Lazarus, probably because of the miracle that occurred there with Lazarus raising from the dead. But Mary and Martha and Lazarus were friends of Jesus, and we read about them just in a couple of other cases. We read about them in John chapter 11, where Lazarus had died and was raised from the dead, and then in John chapter 12, right near the end of Jesus' life, where Jesus arrived there at their home and Mary washed his feet and wiped them with her hair in reverence and honor to him. But this account here in Luke 10 appears to be the earliest of the accounts that we have of Jesus relating to Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He may have known them before, but we don't know that. In fact, this might be the very first time that Jesus ever visited in their home. And where they were on their way to, we don't know, if they were heading to Jerusalem, but they came to apparently Bethany, where Martha had opened her home to Jesus. Now, interesting, as you look at this account here and read this account, you get a very strong sense that Martha was the older sister. And most theologians think that. Between Mary and Martha and Lazarus, Martha was probably the oldest. She tends to take charge of situations, and she does here also. But we don't know, as we look at this setting, who all she had for guests. Apparently, she not only had Jesus, but probably the 12 disciples also were in her home. Maybe there were a few others there. I think it's so interesting that we find this passage coming in the week just a few days before Thanksgiving. Some of you may be busy making plans for family Thanksgiving, and if you have to host or be a hostess in such a gathering, you know all of the stress that can put upon you as you plan for a meal for the multitudes. And Martha, in this situation here, was preparing a meal for Jesus and his disciples. And she was the one who had invited it, set it up, invited them. It was time to get to work. And we look at this account here, and we see that's exactly what she did. Martha opened her home to him, and she was a friend to Jesus. Now, let me just mention something here about Martha and the important role she and other women played. Back in Luke chapter 8, a few months ago, we've been going through the book of Luke. Back in Luke chapter 8, we read there in the first three verses that there were a number of women whose lives had been changed by Jesus, and as a result, they served him. Mary Magdalene had had seven demons cast out of her. A lady by the name of Joanna, who was the wife of a servant in the household of Herod, a fairly high position, she had had her life changed by Jesus and followed him. There was a lady named Susanna who was a follower of Jesus, and apparently a number of others, and we're told there that they supported Jesus in his traveling ministry and provided for he and his disciples out of their means. In other words, they were those who made it possible for Jesus to go around and teach and heal and proclaim the kingdom of God, because these ladies helped to provide for him. And Martha apparently was one of those who supported Jesus and helped with that. Now, as you think about this gathering this day, it may have been a bit of pandemonium with Martha trying to get things ready here. She got a company coming, and we get a picture here of a woman who is very busy. I want us, right from the beginning, right from the get-go here, to understand this passage is not a put-down of Martha. I think Haddon Robinson, who is a professor of preaching par excellence, he's taught at a number of well-known evangelical seminaries. He's out in the Boston area now. But he hit it on the head when he said about Martha, if it weren't for the Marthas of the world, nothing much would get done. Few sermons would get prepared and preached. Very few missions would ever be undertaken. If it weren't for the Marthas of the world, you could put evangelism to bed. And any pastor who's got a lick of sense is delighted to have some Marthas in the pew. So understand, this is not a put-down of Martha. In fact, we have many Marthas in our church family at Terre Shores who carry a great deal of the work that goes on and ministry that goes on. And Martha was not at all unappreciated. Jesus appreciated Martha, and he appreciated her hard work and appreciated the invitation to come and her support. She was a companion. She was a friend to Jesus and his disciples. But we go on into verse 39 and the first part of verse 40, and we see a comparison that Luke gives us here. We read these words in verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what was said. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now, why does Luke make this statement? He makes a comparison, a direct comparison here. I think he does it because he wants us to understand that there are different personalities. People show their love for Christ in a variety of different ways. Some of the, and probably one of the more common ways, is through service, busy, serving, doing things. But some serve through teaching, some through preparing food, some through listening. There's a variety of ways to serve the Lord, and we all are made differently. And Mary and Martha, these two sisters, were made differently. And we see it coming out here. We see that Martha was distracted with many things, and we see Mary sitting at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, note that phrase there, Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. That phrase is a common phrase to describe a disciple. In the first century, there was a well-known Jewish rabbi named Gamaliel, and the Apostle Paul actually studied under Gamaliel in his Hebrew studies, and Acts tells us that Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. It means he was a disciple of Gamaliel. To sit at somebody's feet means you sit and you learn and you take in from them. And here Mary is sitting and learning and taking in from Jesus. She's acting as a disciple. Jesus had spoken about discipleship back in chapter 9. And here you have Mary. She is going to sit and learn all she can. Now, what she's doing, quietness, listening well, is becoming more and more of a lost art. In fact, it's interesting. Sherry Turkle, professor of social studies of science and technology at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, did some studies on this. She interviewed hundreds of people of all ages to see the daily fixation on social media and new technologies like tablets and smartphones and how that's affecting our society. And her studies brought out some concerns for her. She said there is a hidden cost to our addiction to technology. And this is it. It's the loss of solitude. She said it's difficult for people to sit and focus. And so in the church, we see this come out. We need to do things in ways that capture people's attention and try to do things that are going to help keep people awake in various ways, and we have various levels of success or failure in this. But this is true of all society. Teachers are finding this to be true in the classroom. And she said it's a danger because solitude is the precondition of having a conversation with yourself. Being able to get alone and focus and think and listen. And she said that is absolutely necessary to conversing with yourself. And that, she said, we are finding out ironically, is necessary to having good relationships with other people. So that when we have generation of people who have a hard time focusing because they have to be distracted by technology, it affects relationships. That was an interesting study that she did on that. She said that was a concern. She said, I have so many examples of children who want to talk with their parents. Something will come up. The parent will go online to search, and the kids will say, Daddy, stop Googling. I just want to talk with you. And focusing and listening is something that all of us in our age of technology have to be aware of and the importance of doing. And Mary did that naturally. It was easy for her to do that. And she sat there, and she was listening. Now, we don't know what she was listening to, other than she was listening to Jesus. What was Jesus talking about? We were not told. This event likely occurred within 6 months before his crucifixion and resurrection. So maybe Jesus was talking about how he's going to head to Jerusalem and he's going to be rejected and killed and rise again. That would capture your attention, wouldn't it? Or maybe she was talking about how the Jewish people are going to reject him, their Messiah. Or maybe he was talking about his coming again after that at some point. We don't know what he was talking about, but something grabbed Mary's attention, and she was dialed in, and she was listening. Meanwhile, her sister Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now, distracted, she was drawn away. That's what the word means, and not a bad thing that she was distracted. After all, she'd invited Jesus in. Picture it. You invite a house full of guests for Thanksgiving, and they arrive, and you don't have a thing started. And you gather them in, and you just sit and chat with them. There's no smell of cooking food in the air. There's no plates out on the table or on the counter. There's not a stitch of food in sight. And you begin to wonder, what Martha did there was not wrong. What she did was the proper thing for a hostess to do. She had cooking going on here. Maybe she was kneading some bread here, and maybe she was fixing some vegetables over here. And it's amazing. It used to amaze me to see my stepmother prepare a meal. It seemed like it appeared out of nowhere, and some of you are also like that. And that was Martha. She was doing a tremendous job of being a good hostess. And in the midst of that, she really... exemplified exactly what this comparison between Mary and Martha tells us. People serve well and display their love for Christ well in a variety of different ways. For Martha, it was serving. For many of you, it is serving. I would guess that there are probably a good number of hunters out in the woods or cornfields or in their deer stands today who find themselves, at least those who are Christians, who find themselves enjoying the beauty of God's creation. And a number of guys have told me they like to hunt simply because they like to be out there alone in the solitude and think and pray. And people in all kinds of ways show their love for God. And now we have to be careful that we don't become exclusive in that one way. Mary had some things to learn. Martha had some things to learn. Ministry can get us out of balance very quickly. And in this situation here, we see two sisters with two different personalities. And Jesus did not condemn either of them. He didn't condemn Martha for her serving. He needed ladies like her who would serve like that. Until we get to this next section here. The rest of verse 40, we see a complaint. She came to him, to Jesus, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. immediately you sense that there has been something brewing inside of Martha. This didn't come out of nowhere. It had been going on inside of her. She had been busy. She had invited Jesus and his disciples to come. She had been busy getting things ready. And as she's preparing things, she notices that Mary is sitting there listening to Jesus as he talks with the disciples and anyone else there. Mary had been part of that household. And in Martha's mind, she assumed that Mary would help her when she invited Jesus and his disciples as dinner guests. Logical assumption, but an assumption. Probably never asked Mary about that. Not only did she assume that Mary would help her, she assumed that she, Martha, would be the captain. She would call the shots on the timing and she would have Mary be in her place. And she perhaps made another assumption about Mary, an assumption that maybe Mary, whatever she was listening to Jesus say, really wasn't as important as getting dinner ready. She didn't know what needs Mary had going on inside of her. She had no idea of any of that. And all of this begins to fester as she is busy working here and there. And you know what that's like? You're busy, and somebody who you think should be helping you isn't. In fact, they're oblivious to you. And can't you picture the setting there? Jesus teaching the disciples, Mary sitting there at his feet, listening, hanging on every word. Meanwhile, Martha is going about her business preparing, and the pans and the clanging in the kitchen gets louder and louder and louder. As Ray Pritchard talks about it, she could put up with it no more, and finally, with a rolling pin in one hand and a bowl of green beans in the other, we read that she came to Jesus. It's not just she came to Jesus. The Greek language makes it very clear there's an emphasis here. She came to Jesus. She had a beef here, and she asked him, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Now, when somebody asks, and in particular this situation, the Greek language again uses words such that she fully expected a yes response. She expected Jesus to say, of course I care. Yes, I care. We don't read that Jesus ever did that. But she came to him. She asked, don't you care? What she really was saying is, Lord, you don't care. I like the way Ray Pritchard said it. He said, people, when we communicate, we don't often do a good job with it. We'll say, someone will come to us as we're talking and say, I don't mean to interrupt you, but. Well, that's exactly what they meant to do, interrupt us. I don't mean to put you down, but. Well, get ready because they're going to put you down. And in this situation, she wasn't really asking. She was saying, Lord, you don't care, or you would have done something about it. The first mistake that Martha did here is that she made wrong assumptions, and wrong assumptions lead to wrong attitudes, and wrong attitudes can turn good service into bad service. Wrong attitudes can turn that which is good into that which is evil. And in this situation, Martha, with her bad attitude, began as a good hostess and ended as a complainer who was angry at her sister. And one other mistake that she made here is that with that, she commanded Jesus. Jesus, tell her to help me. Isn't that interesting how she would do that? Do you think she said, hey, Mary, I could really use some help over here? We don't read that she said that. She just let it build up until finally she came to Jesus and said, Jesus, would you tell my sister to quit being a lazy bum and come and help me with these preparations here? She's angry. She was serving, which was good. She invited Jesus in, the disciples in, which was good. She was using her gifts, finding fulfillment in that. But as soon as she looked at someone else who was doing it another way, she was angry. And that anger built. And instead of dealing with it properly, she tries to get Jesus on her side. She accuses him and commands him. And when you command Jesus to do something, you can pretty well guess that you might have something wrong in your own attitude. You ever found yourself in that situation where you're telling the Lord what he needs to do for you because, after all, you're doing this for him? Well, that was her situation there. And she asks Jesus the question, gives Jesus the command, all because her values have changed. Now, we sit here, you know, 2 millennia later, and we look at this and we think, get things in perspective. What's really important here is Jesus is in your home. You can learn from him. The meal, who knows what they even had for dinner that day. Get things in perspective. But boy, when we get in the midst of the trees, we easily lose sight, don't we? And in this situation, Martha had allowed the preparation of her meal to distract her. She was so busy, she was out of touch with Mary's spiritual needs. John chapter 12, where we read that Mary anointed Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. She was so touched by Jesus' ministry. Apparently, Mary had some deep things going on. Christ was meeting a deep spiritual need in her life. But that was all flying right past Martha. She had no idea that was going on. And undoubtedly, Martha was feeling like right now at this point there was nothing more important than serving Jesus. You know, food. At the same time, missing what he was really there all about. I think of the Peanuts cartoon. One particular cartoon showed Lucy and Charlie Brown discussing. And Lucy, you remember Lucy was his little bad attitude friend. Lucy says to Charlie Brown, "I hate everything, I hate everybody, I hate the whole wide world." And Charlie Brown says to Lucy, "Lucy, I thought you had inner peace." And Lucy replies, "I do have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness." And that was Martha's situation here. She had good service, but a bad attitude, and it made bad service. Find yourself dealing with attitude problems at times. You know, this is, it's interesting because this is the temptation for some of the most faithful servants of Christ. Those who do the most. In every local body of believers across the globe, as we've mentioned before, there is a minority who do the majority of work. And the natural feeling at times is like, why doesn't somebody else get in here and help? Why am I always the one to have to do this? And that was Martha's feeling, and just led to a bad attitude in this situation. But notice how Jesus deals with it. We read in verse 41 his answer, verse 41 and 42. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Really, indeed, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is the good portion, the better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, Jesus' estimate of Martha here, he responded to her, and he responded to her with compassion. The way he repeated her name, you can almost hear him saying, "Martha, Martha." He loved this lady. He loved Mary. He loved Lazarus. They were dear friends of his. He appreciated them. But he saw that she had things out of balance. Notice what Jesus did not do. "Don't you care? Tell my sister." He didn't say, "Of course I care. Mary, get up. Get to work now." No, he didn't do that. He didn't submit to a bad attitude. He didn't submit to these different needs, these different styles at this time. He simply spoke to Martha's situation, and he described her to the T. "You are worried and upset about many things." I want us to note for a moment these two key words used to describe Martha. The word "worried" there in verse 41 means not only to be anxious or concerned about, but the root verb in the Greek language actually means you are divided into many parts. You are going every which way, and it's making you a nervous wreck. You are being pulled apart, Martha, and you are upset about many things. That word means tumult, a noise, you know, trouble going on. She is being quite literally ripped, literally in her spirit, being ripped apart in turmoil. And she saw Mary out of balance, out of perspective, because of what was going on in her own heart. And Jesus spelled it out perfectly. You identify with those feelings? "You are worried and upset about many things." Man, I can identify with that. There are times where I feel like, I don't know how I'm going to get all these things done. I got to do this, and I got to go here, and I got to see this person. I'm going to forget something. And you ever find yourself in a situation where you are worried and upset, and it's driving you crazy? Jesus hit it on the head. He knew what Martha was going through, and he then puts it into perspective. He said, "Few things are needed. Really, only one thing is needed." And he uses the word "necessary." When you boil all of life down, there are so many things that can distract us and worry us and make us anxious, give us bad attitudes. At that point, it is important that we let God reorganize and give us His perspective. There is really only one thing that is needed. You know what's interesting here? He doesn't go on and state what it is. He just says, Mary has chosen the good portion, the better portion. Because Mary was listening to Jesus and learning from Him when He said this, it's likely that what He is referring to when He says there is really only one thing that is needed, what He's referring to is our relationship with the Lord, that we hear His voice, that we're right with Him, that we're close to Him. That is the one most important thing in all of life. And it is important for Martha to realize in this situation with this gentle rebuke, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset and pulled in many directions. Mary has chosen that one necessary thing, that good portion. It's important for Martha to realize that she needs what Jesus offers her more than He needs what she can offer Him. Do you catch that? Martha needed to remember that she needs what Jesus offers her more than Jesus needs what she offers Him. All of the stuff that we do, and it's important. Christ had called His disciples to serve. Chapter 10 begins with the Lord appointing 70 others and sending them out two by two. The Great Commission, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Jesus is all for service. He's all for work and serving people and serving Him. He's all for doing the work. But ultimately, when you find yourself distracted and pulled, remember the one thing that is needed. We need what He can give us more than He needs what we can give Him. And that puts it into perspective, because the burden's not all on me. The burden's not on me to make sure that this dinner tastes absolutely perfect and that everything goes well. The burden's not all on me. I got to tell you, from a pastor's standpoint, Casey and I were talking about this here recently. And you learn somewhat, you know, over a life, all of us learn different lessons. But in ministry, as a young pastor, it was like I couldn't finish a sermon. I would be working on a sermon right up until the time I had to, and I still would never feel ready. And it's because you feel like it has to be perfect. And then you realize after a few failures, no, lots of failures, none of them are going to be perfect, so why worry about it? The Lord just has to use what we can offer Him. And Martha had to realize Mary has chosen to sit and listen to His voice, and that is the good portion. Our relationship with God, that is crucial. And it was a huge lesson for Mary in this. Jesus' estimate of Mary, that she had chosen this good portion, the word what is better, or good portion, your Bible however translates it, really is a word that sometimes is used with an inheritance that a father gives to his child. Mary has chosen that which God desires to give to her and to you and to everybody, Martha. That's what she has chosen, and it's not going to be taken away from her. That is so important. God desires us to be close to Him. Now, we look at this situation here, and I'll tell you what it reminds me of are the words of C.S. Lewis, British author, who wrote, God made us, He invented us as a man invents an engine. A car is made to run on gasoline, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now, God designed the human machine to run on Himself. He Himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn. He is the food our spirits were designed to feed on, and there is no other. That's why it's just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering with Him. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from Himself, because it is not there apart from Himself. And Martha had to realize Mary had chosen this. Martha was fine serving. Jesus appreciated her serving. But when it made her angry toward her sister, she needed to be reminded what is the one necessary thing that we all need. Charles Wesley said it in one of his hymns like this, "Faithful to my Lord's commands, I still would choose the better part. Serve with careful Martha hands and loving Mary's heart." Well, we go through this account and we see the friendship, the companionship of Martha, a good friend who served. We see the comparison of two sisters who are different in their approach to life. And it may have been appropriate for Mary to offer, but at this moment she was tied into what Jesus was saying. And Jesus, hearing Martha's complaint, would not take away that good portion that Mary needed at that point. And he complimented Mary on keeping the main thing, the main thing. Dwight Pentecost, an old professor from Dallas Seminary, now gone on to heaven, said that to be occupied with Christ is more important than to be occupied for Christ. Maybe some of you used to listen to J. Vernon McGee, that old Southern preacher with a drawl from Texas. He said, "My frustrated, confused friend, are you at that corner of life where you do not know which way to turn? If that's you, then for goodness sake, sit down, take time to sit at the feet of Jesus." And how you do that, that may vary from person to person. Some of us will like intense Bible study on a passage. Some of us will like to just read a verse and think on it. Some of us will like to go out and just meditate on the goodness and wisdom and power of God. And at various times in our lives, maybe all of those things fit. But sitting at the feet of Jesus, that is the stuff of life that we dare not forget. Just within the last year or so, a man by the name of Frank Allegretti of Iowa, a meticulous pilot with more than 20 years of experience, crashed his plane in a cornfield in Iowa and died in the crash. And they interviewed his wife, Cheryl, after the accident. And Cheryl said, "Like everybody has told me, Frank was the most cautious, safest pilot that they ever knew. Yet when Allegretti's story was told, it was found that it was fairly common among pilots. The NTSB, the National Transportation and Safety Board, officials said that pilots run out of gas with surprising frequency. In fact, in the past 5 years, they said fuel exhaustion was a cause or contributing factor in 238 small plane crashes in the United States, killing 29 people. The director, Tom Huter, said, "It's surprising to me that there are a group of pilots who will knowingly push it, thinking I can make it that last couple of miles and come up short. And it happens repeatedly and repeatedly." But it shouldn't surprise us any more than Christians who are designed to feed upon God lose sight of that fact that we need Him. We need to have time alone to think, to meditate about our relationship with Him, to read His Word and think, how does this apply to me, to talk to Him, to cry before Him, to fall on our faces before Him, to raise our hands and worship Him. We need time with Him. However that works best for you, whether it's in a deer stand or whether it is over a desk with an open Bible and commentary, however it works best for you, we need Him. And Mary chose the good portion. And that good portion, when we do that, that good portion of drawing close to Him results in service like Martha also. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank You that You love us. You made us. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know how You put us together. You know what we feel comfortable with and what we are gifted with and the best way that we can draw close to You, Lord. Whatever that is, we pray that You would draw us close to You, that You'd be honored through us. May we never lose sight of that good portion, having a close relationship with You, taking in Your truth, listening to You, seeing ourselves in Your perspective. Lord, draw us close to You. And then, Lord, as You fill us, use us as Your servants. We thank You for Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who give us examples of ourselves, whom You love dearly, whom You use greatly. And Lord, we give You ourselves. Be honored through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.